pushers, the environmental thugs, the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. She's kind of tough there, isn't she? She was really tough at that younger age, but she is right. Welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be with us, and there's an open line waiting for you at 866-444-3478. As promised, we're going to go back. You know, you may have to help me, Mary Rose, with Steve, getting Steve back up here. Let's see. Yeah, there you go. Thanks. Steve in Rockwall. You there, Steve?
I'm here.
Okay, talking about transplanting little pine trees from sandy soil in East Texas to some black clay soil in Rockwall. Is that our hypothesis?
No. I want to keep it there. I'm just putting it. I want to put them on a different part of the property, just off the fence line. So it's going in the same soil.
Okay,
as
great.
What they've grown naturally in.
Okay, great. Just for other people out there, moving them from sandy soil to clay soils, alkaline soils, would be tough on certain species of pines. Your case, though, it's no problem at all, Steve. You could. How tall are the little pines?
6 or 8 feet, maybe 10.
Oh, pretty good size. Okay, there's a couple of ways we can go. You can dig a ball and move them over by putting some burlap around them and keeping some soil on them and move them over to the new spot that way, and probably have a little bit higher success, but it's going to be a whole lot more work. If they were mine, and it sounds like you have plenty of them, don't you?
Well, no, there's just three right in the area where I'm clearing for a fence line.
Okay, three trees, about 8 feet tall. If you try to keep some soil on them, you're going to have a little bit better luck in getting them to establish. But I think if you dug them out of the ground pretty carefully, but dug them out of the ground with a sharpshooter and just kind of gently worked the soil off of them and moved them over to the new location completely bare-rooted, I think you'd have about a 95% chance of them surviving in your situation. If you keep the soil on them, you're going to have, you know, pretty much 100% success. So you might as well try to dig them and leave some soil on it, hold the soil with some burlap. The sandy soil is going to fall apart pretty badly.
Yeah.
But if it were mine, I'd probably bare root them, move them over, make sure you've got the hole already started and ready to receive the little tree, and move it over. Keep it moist. If you do it during an overcast day and even a humid misting day, it'd be perfect. But just as long as it's not bright sun, I think it would be the best. And water them in really well. Set them at the proper height, of course. Even with sandy soil, I dig a wide hole. Don't dig it any deeper than you need to. Set them nice and high, and the little trees will probably root and do just fine for you. Do you know what kind of pines they are? Are they slash pine or loblolly, or what are they?
I don't know. Probably loblolly.
Okay.
Yeah. A couple of questions. How far out in a circle should I dig when I'm digging them up?
I would start, again, the trunks of them are about an inch and a half or something?
Two inches,
maybe?
Yeah, 2 inches.
Okay, two.
At the ground.
Is 20 inches. If you go out about 3 feet and start working your sharpshooter at that point and just see what you run into and then just gently, you know, take a little bit more soil off, moving closer to the tree, and try to disturb, you know, as little roots as possible, kind of working them loose, and we'll move the tree over, leaving all those roots going out wherever you discover them, as radiating out as much as you possibly can. The depth you go doesn't mean a hill of beans. Doesn't make any difference at all. A lot of people have a misconception about that. They think they need to go real deep and get the tap root and all that stuff, and you don't. Those roots that are going out horizontally are the ones that we want to be concerned about. The more you protect of them, the wider the hole is where they're going, and you put those back in that hole radiating out like they were growing, you're going to have 100% success with the transplant.
Okay, so real quick, so then it's 3 feet from the trunk out, so it'd be a 6 foot diameter.
No, 3 foot diameter.
Okay,
a foot
all
and a half. I don't think you need to go farther than that.
Yeah,
you might run into some roots, and do it gently. You don't dig down gently, so if you hit some roots, you don't necessarily sever them. You might see that the root is going a little farther than that, and if that's the case, great. Take your sharpshooter and go out a little farther and pop it out of the ground. In other words, try to save as much of the lateral roots as you can by digging slowly and carefully instead of just chopping and cutting it completely.
Yeah, okay. And then, so what about a watering plan after I get them transplanted? So we're only out there on the weekends. I get this done on the weekend. Is it okay to go a week until watering it again if I water it in real good?
Well, it depends on how well that sandy soil holds the water. You need to water really, really well. You need to put up a 3-inch layer of shredded native tree trimmings across the disturbed area, not touching the trunk, make it zero depth at the trunk, and water really, really heavily, and then just keep your fingers crossed that a week later it's going to still be moist enough. I would probably invest in buying a 55-gallon barrel and filling that 55-gallon barrel up after you've stabbed some small holes in the bottom of it, and so it'll seep out slowly after you've left the property.
Yeah, good idea.
And that'll give you a little bit more security on it. It just depends on how fast that sand is going to dry out as to how often you need to water. It needs to stay moist but not sopping wet.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Howard.
Good luck. Take some pictures. We'd like to see what you do.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks for calling. Let's talk to Linda next, and she's in Temple, Texas. That's close to where we'll be doing the Mother Earth News Fair in early 2019. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Good. I have a problem with rats, not mice, but rats, in a horse barn.
Okay.
Can you tell me a secret to get rid of them?
Yep. Get you some real big old mean feral cats.
I wish that was possible.
That actually works. But if you don't have any way to get some, you might look into adopting some. There might be some way to get that done or get some from your friends. The rat trapping, we have rats also at our house, and we don't have them perfectly well under control. We work with EcoSafe Pest Control, and they do a great job. But when you've got a situation like we do, the rats, especially roof rats, can come from the creek areas and all, and they come in to protected areas, you know, like our dog run. And we don't feed the dogs out there anymore, but there's still other things, you know, plants and bulbs that we've planted and growing and organic fertilizers and this, that, and the other thing. And so what we do to keep them under control is we use bait stations, you know, the black boxes. And inside those bait stations are snap traps, you know, just regular, you know, snap traps. We use some of the snap traps out in the open. Why they do that, I'm not quite sure. But we use a combination of the two. We don't like to use poisons because the poisons can, you know, hurt pets and things like that, secondary damage to wildlife and things like that in some cases. So it's best to have an attractant bait, and then when they get in there, what kills them is a snap trap, not the poison.
I see. Okay. Well, we've also heard somebody told us to take Irish Spring soap and cut it up in blocks and put it out.
That'll sometimes help. It'll sometimes work, but the rats are pretty smart, more so than mice for some reason. For example, if you had mice, you could get rid of them by broadcasting hot red pepper. Mice hate it. It doesn't seem to affect rats that much, though. The big rats are tough, much tougher, I guess, and they are not repelled by hot pepper. The coyote, urine and fox urine and stuff like that will work sometimes for a while, and then they get used to that also. That's why I'm saying that the baits and the snap traps are really the best way to go. And try to not have any, you know, other baits out where they can get to them. You know, we try to keep everything in metal containers as much as we possibly can. Let me put you on hold if you had something else, because I got to run. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? Pure Grow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for Pure Grow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
If you're a big sports fan like me, sometimes the best part about watching a football game are the pre- and post-game shows. Well, it's the same for probiotics. The most important part of probiotics are the prebiotics and postbiotics that come along. Not all probiotics have this superior combination. That's why I only buy Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. You see, prebiotics feed the probiotic colonies in your intestines, and postbiotics are the organic nutrients produced by Dr. O'Hara's three-year fermentation process that become the foundation for long-term colonization of the good bacteria in your body. This is so important. No other probiotic formula has this. As I get older, I want to protect my health the best I can and use only the best supplements that are available. So score a touchdown for your health. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics today.
Touchdown!
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers and online. Don't accept a substitute.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Take this message to heart. RegActive Cardio Wellness Formula provides groundbreaking support for heart health. RegActive supports glutathione production. Glutathione is the body's master antioxidant, which is used by every cell in the human body and is especially vital for heart health. Glutathione affects how the body processes LDL cholesterol in a healthy fashion and ultimately supports the health of the heart by helping to improve the lining of the veins and arteries throughout the body. RegActive's Cardio Wellness Formula contains other heart-healthy nutrients that contribute in different ways to help reduce the risks of cardiovascular disease, such as B vitamins, including B5, which helps maintain healthy cholesterol levels in the normal range, and ubiquinol, the active coenzyme Q10, which supports healthy energy production in heart muscle tissue. Be proactive with your heart health today. Get RegActive Cardio Wellness Formula online and at fine natural products retailers across the United States.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. To start with, Mike, who called earlier in the show, hope he's still listening, about his magnolia being too deep in the ground and wanted me to see these roots that he asked about cutting off that I told him to cut off, and I was right. They are great shots. In fact, it'll be real helpful for us to use to show other people adventitious roots, which are false roots growing out of the trunk of trees in Mike's magnolia. That's definitely what they were, and they definitely need to be cut away. So good job there. You got a little more work to do with the soil going down lower. Magnolias are almost as bad as Chinese pistachios and sometimes lace bark elms of being the leaders of the trees in the industry, being too deep in the containers when you get them and end up being too deep when planted. Magnolias may be top of the heap there. And then the other report for you is that another Mike is the mystery photo winner by identifying the mystery photo today, which is lacy oak. And that lacy oak, that foliage, it's the fall color has been better than that, but I thought I'd just show what it looks like this year. That's the one in front of our office. It's the one that we have a video of me uncovering the flare with by hand tools and eliminated the fuzzy galls that had been on the tree the previous 2 years. It's amazing how effective the sick tree treatment with the removal of soil from the flare is on eliminating galls, insect diseases, even borers, mistletoe, all kinds of other parasites. It's pretty fascinating the first time you actually see it in person. Before we go back to the phone, I also need to tell you a couple of things. One is Achieve Vitality, which is the stem cell therapy company, is the one that I used. I had a torn knee, torn meniscus, had the stem cell treatment done, healed it up unbelievably fast and thoroughly. It's something I recommend you look into, and there's a great opportunity to look into it without spending a dime. You can get a free consultation with the man, Dr. Darcy, by calling this number that I'll give you. You can go to the website, which is achievevitality.net, or call this number. Set up a free consultation, and they'll tell you, you know, whether they think it'll work or not, what it'll cost, what the timing is, you know, all that stuff. The telephone number is 469-600-8794. 469-600-8794. The website again is Achieve, A-C-H-I-E-V-E, Achieve Vitality, V-I-T Lity.net. Okay. Let's talk to David, and then I'll get back to the book thing that I promised to talk about. Haven't done yet. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. What can I do for you?
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned a compost company that you like to use that put lava sand in their compost pile in bulk.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering what that was.
It's GWG Wood Products, and it's south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you go to our website, you can do a search for it, and it'll all come up there, or just do a regular search, and then they have a banner ad down at the bottom part of the pages on dirtdoctor.com. Yeah, they've got the lava sand that we recommend. It's been really hard to get it here. It's been the only way we've been able to do it so far, and we still don't have it in the packaging and the availability at different stores like we'd really like to have. But the GWG company definitely has it in stock. And a very high quality compost. It's made my favorite way. It's made from native tree trimmings, breaking down into compost.
Okay, good. Because I was going to say they probably aren't made of pine bark, but that's kind of like my issue right now. Is growers using a compost or a bulk compost that is pine bark based?
Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah, their website is gwgwoodgroup.com.
All right, I will definitely check them out. Also, I wanted to let you know, my front yard is full sun all day. I actually got so much mycorrhizal fungus growing, I actually had some on the top in the summer.
All right.
And it was in full sun all day.
That's great.
I thought that was very interesting.
What did the fruiting bodies look like? They can vary quite a bit. Usually they're kind of brown and ugly and not very pretty.
Oh, it was all white. It was all white.
Yeah, the white mycelium up on the surface?
Yes.
Really?
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah,
and it wasn't turned over. I checked to make sure it wasn't just turned over recently. It hadn't been touched or anything. So I thought that was very interesting.
That's very unusual, yeah. That comes from all the moisture that we've had and all that. It's making it be able to be up there without, getting dried out and burned up. If it happens again, if you still have it, take some pictures. I'd love to see that.
Okay, yeah, but this was from the summer. This was in the driest, hottest part of the summer, and we didn't have any sprinklers on at all.
Well, that's
so
very unusual,
and
I'm a little surprised that would be mycorrhizae and not some other kind of mycelium, but whatever it was, it's beneficial, obviously.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Next time it happens, take some pictures.
Yeah, definitely. All right, have a great day.
Okay,
bye.
Talk to you later. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. Website is dirtdoctor.com. We'll talk more gardening, and I'll finally can cover the book thing I promised when I get back to.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we've got an open line. If you want to jump on here at 866-444-3444. 7-8, and we'll go back to the phones in just a second. My books, which are available to you to just buy the books and enjoy the information, learn some stuff, or to help support Torque by buying at either the $50 level or the $75 level, and it's all explained on DirtDoctor.com. Just click on the red Buy Howard's books at the top of the page. But my books, and we've got 12 of them that we're still showing here of the 15. The two or three of them are, one was a book that was kind of rehashed Dallas Morning News articles that we did a long time ago, which is a pretty good little book, but it's kind of hard to find it. And there's another, we did a little flip of kind of like a paint chip deal. I forget what you call it that we counted as a book at one time. That's not available anymore at all. But the books that are available and easily available, just to tell you a little bit about them, the Organic Lawn Care book is the, I guess, the second newest book that we have. It's not regionalized at all. We started taking the word Texas out of them when books, when some people were obviously concerned about that if they were in Delaware or whatever. Most of my books, in fact, all of them, are beneficial wherever you live, coast to coast and border to border, if you just change the timing on things and some of the specific plants. But the Organic Lawn Care book is not regionalized at all. It covers the cool season grasses, like fescue and bluegrass, and it also covers the southern grasses, Bermuda, St. Augustine, Zoysia, et cetera, overseeding, and you know everything related to lawn care. The Organic Manual is the newest book. It's the latest one. It's the one that we did with Mother Earth News, and it's got the basic information, but it also has something a little bit unusual. It's got the most current information in diagrams and just details both on root flare management and plants too deep in the ground of any of my books. And it's a real inexpensive paperback book, so you might want to take a look at it. It's called the Organic Manual. It's the latest version of one that we've done in several different iterations over the years. Plants for Houston and the Gulf Coast is what it says. It's a book that's specifically for there. But again, the plants that will grow in Houston will grow a lot of them in a lot of other places as well. Texas Organic Gardening is a book I did some time ago that has some good details, good calendar information, drawings, photographs related to the general organic program. Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening is the book that I did with Malcolm Beck. And it's the one that really covers vegetables and edible crops of all kinds, herbs and edible landscaping in great detail, as does Herbs for Texas. Herbs for Texas, one of my better-kept secrets, I think a lot of people think it's about how to do sachets and have little knot gardens and things like that, but the herbs, in my opinion, are a big, big issue. And this is a big book, too, Herbs for Texas. Covers culinary and medicinal herbs. It covers landscape plants that are edible. It covers weeds that are edible. It covers all kinds of things with a whole lot of detail that I did with Odina Branham. And she taught me how to learn about all the plants in this category and also how to pronounce the name properly. Plants for Texas is a plant book that a lot of people really like a lot because the arrangement's different. I got all the scientific names and all of the common names listed alphabetically in the book, so it's easy to find things whether you know the proper name or not. Texas Bug Book I did with Malcolm Beck, and it's probably the best bug book that's out there, and it's good for everybody. It really covers the organic approach. It covers how to use beneficial insects as well as how to control the pests. Texas Gardening, The Natural Ways, our big book, and it covers everything. It's kind of a compilation of all my books, and if you don't like it, it makes a great doorstop. It's a big book. Texas Trees does what it says, what you'd think. It's the most thorough book I have on trees, and a lot of the trees that are good for Texas are good for other parts of the United States. And then Organic Management for the Professional is the one that goes into the greatest detail. My co-authors on that book are scientists mycorrhizal fungus. Mike Amaranthus, most knowledgeable guy on mycorrhizae in the world probably, as co-author. And then John Ferguson, who is in the compost business and also a geologist, is a co-author. So we got a wide range of books. We got great detail in all of them, a little bit different subject matter, and I think that you'll have fun with any of them. So give it a shot. Let's get back to the phone lines because we got a bunch of people waiting on me. Carl is next up. Holyoke, well, Massachusetts, is that right?
South Hadley, Massachusetts, but that's close enough.
All right, good. What can I do for you?
Mine's kind of a, I'd like to, if you know anything about it, I used to compost the flowers that you get your wife from the flower store or grocery store.
Yeah.
And I read something a couple of years ago on how, like, a lot of the plants come from South America, and they use herbicides and fungicides and all these other chemicals that have never been tested on people. And how they you could really get a lot of bad diseases from them. I have a friend who works in one of the warehouses that does the plant, the settings that they send, they ship them out to the grocery stores. And she's had a really weird it's not a cancer. It's to do with keeping
a health problem. Yeah.
Yes, and she doesn't believe me, but there. Could you do some research on that?
Well, I don't have to do any research. There are a lot of chemicals used in cut flower growing, especially coming from other countries. We've got some friends here in town. In fact, one of my friends that's been in other businesses, Amanda Van Hoosier, is now in the cut flower business in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and she's doing it organic. In your area, there's probably somebody doing it organically as well, if you start asking around a little bit. The chemicals, the herbicides aren't there, but pesticides and fungicides would be there. Handling them carefully. We still buy some things from some of the stores, especially orchids. They're so cheap, you know, coming through certain grocery stores and all. Just don't be, you know, be aware of the fact that they could have a little bit of extra stuff riding on them, and just be careful about the handling and all that. As far as composting them, the composting operation will neutralize the pesticides pretty well.
All right.
It's still something to be, you know, at least aware of, that some of them may be persistent enough, recalcitrant enough to come through the composting. But in most cases, a good compost that gets up to 140 degrees during the management, you know, will take care of those pesticides.
All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. It's a good question.
Thank you. Bye.
All righty, and hopefully there'll be more and more organic people like Amanda and others to fill in some gaps there as we go. Let's go to Possum Kingdom Lake and talk to Jim. Hello, Jim.
Morning.
What's up?
I've been trying for the last several years to start my tomatoes and get them just started from seed early.
Okay.
And they always end up being real spindly. I don't know if I'm keeping too much light on them. I keep a fan on them, trying to, you know, make them get a little stouter. But I'm not having much luck, and I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong.
It's all about light, Jim. The spindliness comes from just lower light than they would really like to have. Even though, are you doing it in a greenhouse or grow lights, or what are you using?
Well, I took an old refrigerator, and I cut a window in it so I can see what's going on and control the temperature better, and put the fan in there, and I'm running the light probably 8 hours. I try to use a UV light with the spectrum that they need.
Okay, that's all fine, but the key is it really surprises people, I think, about how much light they need. If they're growing spindly, the internodes are long and they're growing spindly, they're not getting enough light. And so you need to beef up the artificial light or give them some real light as well or something like that. But that's all you're dealing with is just not enough light.
Okay. All right. I will crank up the light then.
Yeah, just crank it up with LED or whatever you can get and get the light as close to the plants as you can without burning the plants, obviously, and that sort of thing. And you can turn the curve on this without any problem. It's just more light. That's all it is.
Okay. And one other thing, the lady that called about the rat problem, I'm just going to tell you, if you set the snap traps, you probably want to put some tie them down with some baling wire or something, or they'll just run off with half of them.
Okay, that's a good point. We had one run off not too long ago, and it had captured a great big rat snake. It had gone in there and gotten caught, and he had drug it off before he died. So, yeah, you got to be a little bit careful about where you leave them and that sort of thing, and tying them down like you suggest there, that's a good idea.
Okay, I appreciate the help.
All right, appreciate the call very much. Let's move on to Magdalena, is that right, in Missouri someplace. Is that right, Magdalena?
Magdalena.
Magdalena. Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
You were close. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm calling about an oak tree, which is getting just tall enough now that it is going to start casting a shadow on our roof solar collectors. And so I'm wondering, can we top it off to keep it from growing taller? And if we did that, how would it affect its health and its growth pattern?
What kind of tree is it?
Oak.
Is it a deciduous oak tree of some kind?
Deciduous. I think it's a white oak.
Okay. Well, that's a great tree. It's not going to die, but when you cut the top out of a tree, it definitely doesn't like it. It stresses the plant, and it can lead to some other issues. But if you have to do it to keep the light to the panels and everything, you just have to do it. I'm going to have to break here. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else, and I'll be right back. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com, and we will be back with you right after this.
Unibest International has a great new soil testing kit for home gardeners, agriculture and greenhouse producers, turf managers, and landscape contractors. Tests determine what fertilizer nutrients are needed and provide easy-to-understand fertilizer recommendations tailored to your site that will improve production and quality. For more information or to order your ready-to-use professional-grade soil test kit, call 877-535-2479 or go to unibestinc.com. That's 877-535-2479.
What if you could be younger and stronger for longer? Many experts agree that regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine and even your personal health and longevity. So if you or someone you know is suffering from chronic pain or dealing with other health challenges, then stem cell therapy just may be the solution. It's simple, safe, natural, effective, and affordable. So before you operate, before you medicate, now you can regenerate.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
Book your consultation now. Call today at 469-687-94 and receive a $200 consultation free of charge. That's 469-687-94 for the free consultation, or go to AchieveVitality.net.
Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Franke family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
Okay, Howard back, and Magdalena is still with us, I believe. Let me see here. Are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
What else can I do for you?
Well, regarding that oak tree, what would happen? You said it would not be happy. What might happen? And also, when would be the best time to do the cropping or the trimming?
The best time would probably be fall or now, midwinter would be the best. And the thing about it is, whenever you top a tree, it just doesn't like it. It stresses the tree. And all I'm saying is that it might lead it to be a little bit more susceptible to insect or disease problems if you continue to keep the base healthy, the flare exposed. And I'd apply the sick tree treatment after you do some pretty severe topping of a tree. That would help it, you know, to avoid the stress levels and everything. And when you top the tree, don't just let an arborist buzz it off, you know, flat. Prune it just like you would prune normal pruning cuts. You know, take the longest, take the leader back to a side branch that's going out that you'll be leaving, and make the cut leaving the branch collar, the swelling that you'd see there. You'd make the cut just like you'd be doing it normally. You're going to be doing a little more dramatic damage to the crown of the tree.
Right. So we would just be topping just the leader, and that would be a slant, that cut?
Yeah, and cut it off where the leader connects to a pretty good sizable side branch. I'd make the cut at that point, you know, trying to look at the diagrams and all in my books and online about where to make the pruning cuts, saving the branch collar. And even though this is a topping is a little bit different situation, you're going to see a little bit different connection, you'd still want to make the cut that does not flush. That would lead into other decay in the part that you leave. You'd want to leave a little bit of a stub protecting that part that's going to callus and form and close over the wound.
Okay. So one other thing, should we paint it with anything?
I don't. Some people in the South here paint because of the fear of the spread of oak wilt and things like that. The research is out there is pretty strongly indicating that the wound will heal faster if you do not use wound dressing. So my personal stand is that I don't recommend it.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Howard.
All right.
I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you very much and good luck. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Let's go to, there's something I forgot to do. No, I think I caught up with most of those things. 19. There. Joe in Mountain Home, Arkansas. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Howard. Yeah, we're in Zone 6.
Yeah.
And about 5 years ago, I planted muscadine grapes.
Mm-hmm.
I got two varieties like they recommend for our area. And I'm just getting a poor crop of them. I get the clusters in the spring, but only like one or two grapes form to maturity.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering, do you think that's a pollination problem, or I'm in the wrong zone and they have to be in a like zone 7 to
That almost sounds like a disease that's hitting us. What is your fertilizer and spray program?
Well, on the rest of the garden, I use, the Garrett juice, and I kind of go with just whatever stuff you recommended in Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening.
Okay.
You know, molasses, the cornmeal for my – but and I just don't – I don't use nothing for the muscadines because I heard that it says they grow wild out in the woods.
Well, they do.
So I haven't run into them, but – I thought, well, maybe just leave them alone and let them go.
Yeah, I think that's our problem. They grow well in the wild, but the wild, a lot of times the soil will be, over the decades, built itself up into a pretty healthy condition.
No, I don't. Other than initially when I put them in, with, compost that I composted and stuff like that.
Okay.
Let's put
down a fertilizer, a dry fertilizer, just like fertilizing the rest of the property, one of the organic ones, and I would spray and drench it with Garrett juice. I think setting fruit is helped by Garrett juice more than anything you can use. And you can drench it into the soil and also spray it as soon as it starts to get bud swell and before it starts growing.
Yeah. Yeah, another thing that's kind of funny, we got honeybees, and, they go to the wild grapes. They go to the wild grapes that are growing in the woods, and, they don't go to our muscadine grapes, and I'm thinking maybe they pollinate by the wind, do you think, or not?
I'm not sure how muscadines pollinate. It's various pollinators that would do it. So I think your problem is just a lack of fertility, and I think you'll be fine.
Okay, I'll do that.
Yep, give it a shot and let me know how it works for you this next season, okay?
Okay.
All right, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Troy, hang on. I'll talk to you off the air. We're going to have to get out of here. Thanks for calling, everybody. I really appreciate visiting with everybody. Got some good photographs from some people, had some fun tips, had some good stuff. As always, love talking about this natural organic gardening. You can learn more if you haven't already at dirtdoctor.com. My books, again, can help the Texas Organic Research Center. We really appreciate the support. And I'll see you next week. Enjoy those healthy gardens.